to the smart tools.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the God. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. You no longer have to wander or wander off the straight path. Those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth to so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to bring God's kingdom to earth. According to the scriptures, Matthew 6:32, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness should be added to you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, as the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God. As it states in Psalms 82, I have said, ye are God, and all of you are the children of God. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi of New York, in questions and answers.
Breathing takes a bit of the body parts and bits and pieces. Is it a physical action that someone removes bits and pieces from and one of the other sticks and then gives it to who? In referring to the same question, please.
Rahul, I know what you're trying to say. She says is that the average person in here doesn't have seven clones. But let's say the five men that control the Bilderberger Society. Bilderberger Society of five men who rule the world. A Ram Corporation. Each one of them have a clone. And each one of them had that clone produce copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. Have you noticed at one point his whole face was swelling up and eating away? If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull it away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time and it becomes that apparent. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Or had this big growth on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes to the jaw, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now. What they're doing is they have cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells in the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go to the computer, you can investigate cell tips, they call them. And they rebuild cells. So if you have, MS or some kind of brain damage, now they have the means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cells, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But the conflict is every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So like say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves. So in the event that during their life they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists could immediately replace that. There was no fear of rejection because they replaced it. There was, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going to reject it. There was no fear of that. And that's what it means when they say they're talking about those physicians. And in the time of Zoza, the physicians would be under Amenhotep. That was his high priest. And beneath in the time of Tutankhamun, it would be Ay. The high priest would be Ay. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra. And they were high priests. You sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an ihram on, a single white robe, bald head, no hair. They shave all of the body. Anything that was bacteria attractive, they didn't have any more pure white robes all the time. They always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men. They call them wabs or priests in ancient Egypt. Well, these men knew the sciences. They were like scientists. They knew about the embalming. They knew about cloning. They knew about alchemy, altering molecules. They just were learning. They got their knowledge from beings who came from beyond the stars here, which sounds crazy in America until when we speak of beings coming from beyond the stars, it sounds like it's crazy until you talk to a Christian in America and you say, where did Jesus come from? And they go, huh? Say, well, where did Jesus come from? According to your Bible, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus said, I come down from the Father. As long as you're talking UFOs and you keep it in that terminology of UFOs, it sounds crazy. But when you turn around and just say, let's get for real, where did Jesus come from? They'll say, before he came to earth, he had to have been someplace. If you say he came, they'll say, well, Jesus came from heaven. The next question is, where is heaven? The definition of heaven, of course, to them is up there. Up there, where? Up there somewhere. Okay, good. Being you don't know exactly where he came, but you do know he came from up there, then you are admitting that he came to this earth from some other place where he lived. Did he have a seat beside his father there? They'll say, well, according to the Bible, of course, Jesus sat on the right side of his father while up there. So he speaks there. Was the angel there, the heavenly host? According to the Bible, there were heavenly hosts there. And the heavenly hosts, were they nude or did they wear robes? Or when Jesus appears in visions or when the Blessed Mother Mary appears in visions, they're always a garb in white robes, etc. So they have robes there. Yes, when you read the holy books, it speaks about paradise and the fruits of paradise and the pure water of paradise and the gifts that we're going to get when we get to heaven, which are very similar to the things we already have here on earth, but they're supposed to be timeless. But slowly but surely, they're being confronted with the reality that there's a place somewhere there where they go, a specific place. And in that place, there's seats and people talk. Because in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the garden talking. Well, either God was talking to himself when Adam and Eve heard them, but it says they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he was actually moving about. So what was he doing? Talking to somebody, a group of people, because they heard him. But you wouldn't hear him if there was no concrete, he didn't have no lips on his shoes. You wouldn't hear him. They were walking around in sandals on sand. You won't hear nobody walking on sand in the cool of the day. So they must be having a conversation. Who was God talking to? Other beings that are on his equal or beneath him, or above him. They have to be in one of those places. They have to be either higher than him, equal to him, or beneath him. But whatever it is, there's other people there. If there's a seat on the right side, the only reason why you would mention having a seat on the right side is because there must be a seat on the left side. So if Jesus is sitting on the right side because he's good, then on the left side is Satan. But Satan can't be there no more because Revelation 12 says Satan was thrown out of heaven and can't come back no more. So there's an empty seat on the left side. But as you add these ridiculous little things together that sound like mumbo-jumbo, they come down to a reality that there is a place where Jesus came from. And there's a place that Jesus wants us to go to. And he says, where I am, you may be also. But the point is, if he says that where I am, you may be also, if we go and look at that literally, he's saying, I am somewhere and you're over there. And I want you here. And to find out where that is, we simply go to the Lord's Prayer. Where is that here? Well, Jesus said, I want you to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. So now he's separating himself from earth beings and saying there is a heaven and our Father is there. If all we have to do that, if we take it from the religious and just blindly go by faith and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address these final points, then we're not worthy to be there. Simply because it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we're supposed to know these things. Otherwise, God would have never put them in the Bible. He didn't want us to find them. He never gave us the intelligence to find them. He wouldn't give the heathen the intelligence to rage, because God controls all the intellect in the boundless universe. So if someone speaks against God, God allowed him to do it for a specific reason. He wants that question raised. He wants that doubt in Thomas to exist. Because by doubting Thomas, he can confirm the truth. If there's no doubt in Thomas, how do I get to the truth if I don't have somebody saying, well, I know God personally? And then some guy in the congregation says, you don't know God. God arranged both of those situations. The kook who says, I know God personally, and the guy that says, you don't know God. He says, yes, I know God. Well, where is God? Oh, God's in heaven. He talks to my heart. Okay, now the situation changed. God talks to your heart. God talks to everybody. I thought you meant that you knew him personally, like I know this guy, and he talks to me like me and him sitting in the bar having a beer. That's a big difference. It's left like that. So when he's making reference to they, he's speaking of a place where beings are. And those beings walk and talk with God. And they're called the heavenly host. In fact, one man in the Bible called Enoch was so good that God didn't even let him die. It says in the Bible, God translated him and took him to himself and took him to himself. And Enoch didn't even die a mortal death. So now Enoch in the Bible didn't die a mortal death. Then he was still in a physical form. And if God took him and translated him out of this planet somewhere, he went there in what? A physical form. If Elijah in the Bible, teacher of Elias, took a chariot to the heavens physically, they saw him go up into the sky physically, then what? There must be some place up there where people meet physically. If Jesus ascended before the disciples physically, and they watched him, as they say in the Bible, go through the clouds, correct? That's what it says in the Bible. You can change the Bible to make it suit your religious belief. But if you want to stay literal, it says Jesus went up through the clouds and his disciples watched him disappear into the clouds. He was in physical form. This was not from the cross, what they call it, when he saw the spirits of Elijah and he saw the spirits of Moses, and he had that transfiguration that they call it. To transform one figure to another. They said he was illuminated, but he was still physical. Because in order for you to be illuminated, you must have some filament. You can't light a light bulb without a filament. You need that filament inside there to get the light. Now, when the light comes out the bulb, it appears to be something intangible. But if you trace the light back, it cuts back to that bulb, cuts back to that filament, cuts back to those wires, cuts into that force, cuts into that electricity, which is physical. So there are beings there. We have got to come into that reality that there are beings with God. Whether we want to call them angels or by whatever term that makes us feel good, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, if you like the color green and you call them little green men, that's your prerogative. That's your individual choice as long as you do acknowledge that there are beings with God. Now, in Africa, they may choose to acknowledge all of these beings and give them all separate names. And then we, as Christians, may look at them and say, that's paganism. And then they'll say, well, what about the saints? Or we'll say, well, that's different. But then what's the difference? You got God the Father. We say, that's right, Heavenly Father. And Jesus the Son of God, we say, that's right. And the Blessed Mother Mary, they go, that's right. We say, and the Holy Ghost, we go, that's right. They say, well, that's four. We say, no, that's one. That's three in one, that's Trinity. They'll say, no, you may say it's three in one because that's what you want to be, but when we... in Africa, break our gods all up into a whole bunch of gods, and then we say, all of them are one. So if you go and talk to an ancient Egyptian, he'll say, all the gods come into one god, Atum. Right? And you say, well, there's Amun-Ra, and there's Beth, and he'll say, yeah, but all of them are qualities of the one God. If you talk to a Muslim, you'll say, Allah is one. He say, well, he has 99 names. He'll say, yeah, well, all these are attributes or qualities of this one God. You see where the trick is coming in? Once we get into the reality that we are at the third level of manifestation, that there's a higher level of beings, and then between us and those higher level of beings, there's angelic beings, and then it comes down to us who are physical and angelic beings. If Allah, so when beings came to this world, they had to be assured that their mission would be completed. So they had people that said, we're going to keep his body intact while he does this mission. So they made duplicates of him. And it sounds crazy today, but if I told you about a television on your wrist 10 years ago, you would have laughed. If I would have told you it was putting frozen food inside of a little box of electricity and pushing mint buttons, and in 3 minutes you have a meal, if I would have told you that 45 years ago, you would have thought I was crazy. If I would tell you there was going to be cloning people, you would have thought that was insane. All those things that appeared to be insane yesterday are realities now. Bringing people back to life. You know, people who died in the hospital, the doctors come in, there's no blood circulating, there's no pulse, the person is legally dead, the doctors walk out the room, pull the sheet over the patient's face. You mean they're making a death report, come back in, the person is sitting up. They say I had a near-death experience. The doctor say, near my butt, you were dead. But how do they present that to the medical society? Where there is no rules in the books for people who die and come back. Simply because this society haven't got that far as to mesh medical and religion. Because they won't marry the two, they don't leave room for those things, so they'll say, well, maybe they were dead. The person said, well, let me tell you something. I was floating around the room and tell people what they saw them doing during the period that they were laying there supposedly dead. They got to do what, well, well, we can't explain that right now, but we're sure in time we'll have an explanation. Well, of course. In time they had television. I was living when there was no television. There was no thing about human beings walking around on a screen. My mother sitting right here, she was living when Jesus was living. It's always good to have a parent around that makes you feel young. Even if you're old. Some of us folk in here were living when things didn't exist that you take for granted. Like the children today, the reason why the children are crazy, because they have what's referred to as an instant replay life. You know what that means? Years ago, if we wanted to watch Joe Louis and them box, we all stooped down in front of a radio, and everybody listening while a man narrated. We didn't see them on television, let alone miss them and program a machine that catch the fight while I'm out somewhere else. I come back in and go pimp and watch the fight. Was that possible when you were a kid? No way. You want to know what's wrong with the children today? The children today have this concept that life can be stored and picked up later. So when you're talking and say, listen, you got to get your life together now, they're going to come. He said, whatever you're going to do with your life now, you better start doing now. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, nigga, I'm talking straight up, nigga. You better start studying right now. So you got to get a couple dollars for the party. Tomorrow's Monday, nigga. You got to go to school. Mm-hmm. They know it. They can get videotapes or what they call it when kids can't read this thing now. Hooked on phonics. The only hook on phonics we got was our grandparents hooking us upside the damn head because we didn't study. Wasn't about going out to the movies on Saturday until your room was clean. These kids got everything on instant replay. And until we destroy that system, we'll never be able to change the children. So I'm saying the things that appear to be abnormal today are going to be every day. I mean, talking to dead people is going to be as simple as knowing your relative's telephone number to the other side. You say, well, Uncle So-and-so died 3 or 4 months ago, and he was a hell of a carpenter. And I'm trying to build this project, and I don't know what to do. And you say, well, his father said, well, my brother, oh, shoot, his number is, you know, let's be good, 777-777. You know, I'm going to say, 777, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How you feel? How do I feel? I'm dead, huh? How you feel? You're the one with all the aches and pains, so that might be a sense of humor from the other side. It ain't funny to us, you know, the truth is. You with me? How do you know that that's not going to be as normal as turning on a TV? How do we know that? Because a stealth plane, a hover jet, on television last week, they were showing a plane that goes up like this, boom, and takes off. Right? Before, all we know was thrust. Thrust was it, like, figure out a way to throw the plane. Now it goes up in the air and goes, boom. The United States is saying, tag, if we'd have had these back in the First World War, you know, we could have ended that butt. And system and time says, but you didn't. But don't doubt the possibility of talking to spirits on the telephone. Don't doubt anything when you live in this day and time and you see the technology that exists today. You understand? I was just driving along with a young fella, and he got this detector for radar. I don't have one in my car, you know. I didn't think about it. I said, what's that thing? It's going to... What's that? He says, you know, you see the box over there? He said, yeah, one box says somebody else got one. Somebody got one, what? Well, he said, yeah. He's telling you that somebody came with one? Yeah. There was another dress. I said, what's that? He said, someone's activating a microwave oven. I'm like, we sitting in a vehicle driving along 127, and somebody's cooking their food in their house, and we're seeing it in the car. You mean tell me them frequencies are in the air like that because of microwaves? Oh, yeah. This here, if it fills up, that means the police is near. The whole screen fills up. That means the police is near. So I can watch the police. I can see it. All I know, I didn't know this. You know, I'm talking, this is today. All you guys are like, you didn't know? No, I didn't know. Like, I could be, all the time I've been getting taken by these cops, I could have one of them and you never had. Y'all young folks take for granted sometimes. We old folks miss stuff. Because we don't even know. Unless you come and tell your pops, yo, pop, guess what's new? Your mom, I'm sitting in my room watching black and white television. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I let alone 3D TV. Things they got out now with 3D men. They got movies on the internet where you don't even have to go to the cinema any longer. Don't doubt anything because that's a tactic of the devil to make you unprepared for God's power. By making you think that it must be within the power of man to be real. And that God's power surpasses man. God can make things happen and does. But there'd be no inventions or no creations or nothing if God didn't put the thought in the minds of people. No, Einstein was dumb as heck. Now, you know why I say that? Because as smart as he appeared to be, he smoked. But when he was smoking, they hadn't gotten to the point yet where they realized how much cancer damage he was doing to himself. But every time they show you Einstein is supposed to be such a genius, he's got a pipe in his mouth. He's, I'm saying, this guy invented the atomic bomb, you know, altered molecules, and he didn't figure out that he was killing himself with cancer. They plan a plan, and God plans a plan, and God's the best of planners. Because of how intelligent he appeared to be, he was stupid when it comes down to something that simple. That we, or they, sister, that you was asking about, is pertaining to beings that protected. Today they got them too. But we don't have it. We don't have that privilege or that luxury. I mean, you get hit by a truck out there, you know, that's it by a bunch. But those rich folks up there, they got body parts. They got to force themselves to die. People just live on and on. They got some people like Bob Hope. Bob Hope is older than Santa Claus. I hate to talk about our own late president, Carter. Carter's jumping out of planes at 80. Anybody who jumps out of plane knows your body is not equipped to jump out of no plane at 80. You can't even jump off the toilet at 80. So he must have conditioning.
What I was going to ask is, do these bodies that they've got, are they in stasis or are they living and then they just pick them up off the street or something?
I like to say they bring them over the street. That sounds like a movie. I like to work with that. No, once they clone these bodies, they speed up their cell phone, they put them in a suspended animation. They have what's called cryogenics. Right? Now, the thing that's wrong with cryogenics is the brain cannot be reactivated. It turns to mush once it's frozen. But they've proven that most other organs in the body can be revitalized. But the brain, once you lose that brain contact, which is that oversoul you're talking about, so they're not concerned. So if a president has brain damage like Kennedy, when they shot him, he still lived, you know, NASA's island for a long time, but he was in a wheelchair and he was brain dead. So they really couldn't bring him back to the forefront of politics. So he just lived his life out there in Greece. And Jacqueline pretended she married Onassis, and that's how the story went. Didn't stop the first. Now everybody's eyes like, what's that? I just realized what I'm saying is new to some people just by the look on your face. I know you all think Kennedy died, dog. Okay, you did. All right, what else? Anybody got a question? Yes.
Is there a cure for sickle cell?
Yes, there's a cure for everything, including death. And you may not believe it, because I'm hoping you young people hear me. There's a cure for everything. The thing is, how long do you want to live? Right now you think you want to live forever, right? Right? But if you was Bob Hope's age, would you want to still live forever? Let's look at it this way. Now that they're on the borderline of communicating with the dead, and now has been confirmed by certain scientists that there is some form of life after death. Correct? Now they have all these psychics out there that are proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the ability to communicate with the dead. Well, that's what it appears to be. Ask yourself, what happens once you know for a fact that when you die, relatives will pass away to bring you over? Think about it. Then, how many times has any and every one of us decided, I'm fed up with this life, I don't want to live no more? Don't lie, because everybody pretend you ain't got a little understanding is crazy. Almost everybody out here at one time or another got fed up with life and said, I just had it. You follow? But you was too punky to commit suicide. And you thought jumping in front of a train was going to hurt. So you're still here giving us a hard time. But suppose you knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, suppose you knew that once you pass, that your relatives, your greats are waiting for you, and they got a hand set, and they take you into a new world. Suppose they did this by communicating with you before you passed. What would happen? For one, when an officer says, pull over. Think about it. Pull over. You say, I said, get out of the car. Excuse me, my English, but I'm saying what you say. I don't know, I might be on the car. I'll shoot you.
Whoa.
You know, big deal. What about that time when all the bills, you know that time, right? And even those bills that we thought we were getting away with because they didn't give us the bill, so we was running that telephone up and didn't ever come and we like, man, they forgot about me. And then just when we on Dubai Street on the corner of ain't got nothing, in come this bill for $300 to $400, you're going, for the telephone company, oh, this is a back bill for so-and-so, you're like. And then you get frustrated and you say, dang, we'll get someone to put it open, put it here, take a bell, and chill, open the fridge, and more fly out. I ain't got no money to buy no food. So I'm going over my girlfriend's house. I call my girlfriend, and the coffee just says, what? I'll just get down, go downstairs, and go for a drive just to chill downstairs. It says empty. Hell, I'm just going to get some money. I don't want to live no more. Don't say you haven't been to that road before where you don't want to live no more. But if you had a confirmation that everything is going to be all right, this world would be a different place. The way people get in arguments, there would be no such thing as road rage. There'd be road incidents. That's all. Get out the car, put down. You got me, I got you, thank you. And we're near that now. We're near that state of mind right now. We're starting to accept just by the technology. You know what I'm saying? Communication. Oh, they already passed life on other planets. But who would they say in 20 years ago if I said there was life on Mars? You're crazy. Now they found life on Mars. Life on Jupiter. Not life on one planet, but life on more than one planet in our solar system. They found tri-star constellations, systems with three suns. Go on the internet, go look it up. Things that they say is impossible have become possible. So life after death, which has always been based on faith and belief, is no longer simply faith and belief. It's now possible and bending towards probable. And to some, confirmed. You with me? How will that affect us as human beings? So, to answer your question,
They have gotten to the point where they realize now we as a people are developing spiritually to the point where we know there's a life after death. That we know that there is a really a Jesus Christ. That we know there was really angelic beings. Whatever name you use and whatever language you speak, whatever country you're influenced by is not what's important. The reality is important. We know it's real now. And our attitude towards life is changing. Our attitude towards work is changing. Our attitude towards people are changing. You follow that? And we're in that day and time now where anything is possible. Tomorrow, we can flip on the television and pip, they tell us something we never even imagined before. You follow that? So we're at that period of time where life and death are becoming one. And the system is afraid to face the reality of in what direction our minds will start to elevate. Will we become God? And does that change the definition of God when we become God? You follow? When we reach to that level of God, perfection in God, being his children, does God then raise to a higher level? And does that start another journey? Or does that end it? Or is that the beginning, and was this a path towards a beginning? All these questions become something to talk about. Years ago, it was simply, is there life after death? Is there heaven or hell? Does God really exist? Is God there? Was Jesus a real person? Etc., etc., etc. And I explained to y'all, I explained to y'all before, you have two Jesuses in the Bible. I don't mean two Jesuses. We know there's three characters. I'm talking two births of two Jesuses and two Marys in the Bible. You know, people don't want to hear that. No, no, no. My Mary is my Mary. I said, well, which one? The one that had a child in a manger or the one that had a child under a date palm tree in the desert? What are you talking about? That sounds crazy. Well, in Matthew's and them, they speak of the birth of a child in a manger, in the presence of wise men. In the book of Revelation, they speak of a child born under a date palm tree in the wilderness with dragons waiting to kill it, which is true. Or are they both true? They'll say, well, that's the mystery about. I don't want the mystery about. God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. I don't want the mystery. I want the facts. If you can't give me the facts, step down off the pulpit and let somebody who God inspires stand up there. Let somebody who has the answers be up there and get down. Stop the preaching and start the teaching. Stop trying to be a good person and just be a good teacher. And let people become good people themselves. Because what you are, you are. What you going to be, you going to be. Whatever is blown in you, it's like the tree. Whatever that thing is going to fertilize this ground enough, something's going to grow from here. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I may not see it through by the sand, but something's going to grow to every person here. Is a God in the making. And for no other reason than God said, I put my spirit inside you. God's spirit would be no more than a seed, because it wouldn't be God. I put my spirit in man, and man became what? But what's the catchword in between that? Man what? Became. He grew into. He changed into. He metamorphosized to become. I put my spirit into man, and man became a living soul. See, but we got God's time and our time mixed up. We're taking became like past tense. We're still becoming. Because we're not a living soul yet, are we? What are we? We are a living body. Are we not? Now, check back some of you younger folk. Your grandparents, your grandfather. I used to put my grandfather's jacket on and I was buried in it. He wore like a 48. Grandma had hips. Half these women had like little string beans. Half of the men here, we ain't got shoulder span no more. We were about anywhere from a 40 to a 42. And that's man size.
There's a man boys section for men's size.
Women buying their roles at a children's section. Are we metamorphosizing? Are we becoming smaller as human beings? Yes. Just check some history. Check on our size shoe your grandfather wore. 15s. Average man now is wearing a 10, 9.5, 11 the most. Old folks were 15, 12 on up. Are we changing? Yes. What are we becoming? We're becoming less physical and more mental. We talk about little midgets and little grays. We're almost there. Kids born out like these big old heads. Ain't too many little kids whose head match their shoulders. They're toting these big old tank heads. Something is changing. Kids' eyes are bright, born. When I was a child, kids wasn't born with hair. Kids wasn't born with nails. They had to wait 2 to 3 weeks before they got nails. Remember that? Now kids come out full, nails, some with teeth. Is this not a fact? I mean, we learned to grunt, you know what I mean? Pull. Crawl on one leg, then crawl on two, then move around with stuff, and then get up and stagger and fall. Children now come out and do this. They're walking. What does that mean? That means God's plan is still at work. We're behind time. Misinterpretation. People not looking at the word of God. And that's why I said in the beginning was the pay attention to the words of God, not the sentences of God. You can't even get past God's words, and here you are trying to interpret his sentences. Let's do it word by word. God breathed the breath of life. Got that? Into man. And man became a living soul. And we're now still a living body. We don't become a living soul until the body is dead. That's the path we're on. That's the journey we're taking to become a living soul, a conscious soul. And that's the reward. The reward is to pass out of this physical body and yet still be conscious. There are lost souls. There are people that die, as they say, and have no spiritual connection. They go. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream in color. This is real. They don't have no spiritual connection. And when they pass, that's it. This is as far as they're going. Because they'll never make it to the state of a living soul. Man became a living soul. You may say, well, became is past tense. Past tense in our time or God's time. Because it says in the Bible, what? One day to God is like 1,000 years. So his idea of past tense and our idea of past tense is a great difference. What is the journey then? What is the path we're on? Huh? To become a living soul. And what happens when we become conscious of that? We become in tune with that reality that we're becoming a living soul. And we accept that reality. Then what? Then we're God. We talked about that. It's in Wizard of Oz. The journey led to a little person behind a mask pretending to be God. You realize that's why they're mad at you and I? You know, that's why they're mad at Nawabians, Nawabs, or whatever they call us in the Gambit. You know why? Because they say, he says he's God. And they don't realize they're quoting something in the Bible. When a priest said to Jesus, we're going to stone you because you say you are God. And Jesus said, isn't that written in the law? I said, ye are God. They still try to stone him. They don't like us because of our consciousness. Our connection with God. The reality we're starting to say, we are children of God. The Bible says God has children. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So, if there's sons of God on earth, and there's daughters of men on earth, who are the daughters of men? And what is their destiny? For the sons of God, destiny is to return to the bosom of God, to be with, as, and of God, to be one with God. That's our path. So there's some other people walking around the planet. Whose children are they? Huh? Children of the devil. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I put iniquity between your seed and her seed. And we're her seed. We're even Adam's seed. So the devil has a people to walk in next to you. Walking with you. Eating at the table with you. Working with you. Flying next to you on the plane. Sitting next to you in the car. You don't even know this fool got marijuana. He didn't tell you that when he got in the car. He knew it because he purchased it. He knew it was illegal when he got in the car with you. But he didn't have the time to tell you, I've got this marijuana with me and it's illegal. Because he knew doggone well, he said, you get the girls on my car. Then police pull you over and police said, let me get dollars. He's like, not like this. He said, police in this fool yelled out. Why are you pulling over? This fool got the marijuana. He don't even know. I said, let me shut up. Guys, get out of the car.
They searched him,
and next thing you know, you're in jail. The only way he said, man, they just messing with us. Man, this is racism. Man, this is harassment. Man, this is a... That was the devil sitting next to you. Now, you're looking for the devil to be white. That would make you feel so comfortable, so convenient, to say, oh, all white people are the devil and all black people are God. Crap. If you believe that white people came from black people, then you believe the devil was black before he got white. If you teach that black people existed on the planet first, and archaeologists, paleontologists, and everybody agrees with that, right? Then if the white man is bad, he came out of you, then bad came out of you. So now who be the father of the devil? Who that is? Talk real. Who it is? Came out of you then, right? You want to face that reality? Can you tell the truth about yourself? Or can you only tell the truth when it's others? When the black Muslim want to stand up and say, all white people are devil, and all black people are angels. Crap, I got some uncles I know the devil. Now, by God, uncles saying about me, I know that nigga devil. But then, the end will feel that. But it's inside. The devil's walking with you every day. I'm trying to give you a message. Y'all who are aspiring here, to become one with and as and of God, be on your guard against the nearest person to you. Smiling faces tell lies. Or what? The backstabbers. Watch out for that best friend. You understand? Anybody who wants to be your best friend has a purpose. Friends are not something you pick up along the way. Friendship comes from trust. How many people had people they thought were their friends and stabbed them in the back? I should say, how many people didn't? Because I know 99% of them did. And I trusted that person. And I would do anything for that person if they stabbed me right in my back. But you know what they tell you about a snake? Huh? You knew he was a snake when you picked him up. See, most of the time, that friend was the friend who had the connection. Or the fancy car. Or knew where all the pretty girls hung out. Knew how to get in the party. That friend had all the connections, and that's why you cling to that friend. That friend had the delicacies of the harlots around him or her. That friend had money all the time. I like hanging out with him or her. They knew all the sharp places to go and the best restaurants. You hear me? And when I posted that way, I put down my God. G-O-D. I put down my God. I became off God. And that's why I got stabbed in the back. And that's why I got betrayed. And that's why I got hurt. But if I stay on that one path of reality and face reality that tomorrow anything can be said. And it might open up tomorrow and
say, oh, no, don't bother yourself. But if you are really in what's wrong, you are really in a soul form as a He said, well, what am I doing here? And this world is lit up. You are a fallen angel. You just don't want to admit you fell from grace. And you are in hell. But now, and it's worse. Say, this is hell? Tell me, God, what makes this hell? Okay, right? Let me get in the middle of this. What makes this place hell? Who is this? God. Now remember now, there is so many that you created forces in God. wants to be established in heaven. God made man in his image after his likeness. Thus man and woman are in his image after the likeness of God. And what God does and is capable of doing and does and is capable of doing, or they're not in the image and after the likeness of God, they were liars. Now which is it? The Bible says that in his image after the likeness of God, or you are in his image and have the power of God, or you're not. What's in it? The Bible says the Lord told you what? So that God didn't have it. And God is Oprah. And God is Adam. And God is cancer. And God is heart attack. AIDS. God is to be back there a little bit. He said, finally, not vagina infection. But God must keep you respectful too. Because man, a man is in the likeness of God, who is responsible for the malfunctioning part of the man? At what point did man stop being God in his purity and become God in his degrading, decrepit, falling apart, all aging, breakdown, just falling over the world? Where did it happen? When did the pain of our lives come in? For God, God has our lives. It came in when you fell from grace. That's how you know you're in hell. Because you start off with this stuff. She is as healthy as she can be. Her bones are good, her eyes are good, her teeth are good. She's a piece of hands on it. And speeding up the process. Her organs are all good and healthy, but then what happens? They start to kill her.
Welcome back. My name is Dr. Valen Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York. Now, the main thing is, we all have it, I think you should get it.
Because if you really listen to what he's saying, and he got it to me yesterday, right? That was me, and I listened to it last night. If you really listen to what he's saying, he said, and I repeat, and it's for him and his father, this is all on there, he said that Allah was created in triple doctrine. There ain't nothing to worry about. That's better. He said, when you're outside at night, that's not darkness, that's the shadow. Literally, no to worry about it. He said, that's an illusion, that's not real, that's the shadow. The real darkness is inside the room where people are conceived. You follow that? He said on that tape, if you're looking for a devil, stop looking outside there. You black people go look in a mirror, and then you'll see the devil. That's not a direct statement of black devil. There it is. I ain't saying you get to take the mirror. He also says on that tape, I mean at that lecture, he says that it's Muslims and Islam, and he says they might not want to be called Muhammadism, but they are Muhammadism. You follow? And he said, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, give us those names, because that's what divides and destroys us. He said, religion is destroying us. He said, the real religion of God is obedience. That's a lot. And that all of y'all are God. And then he did you say, is it not written in the law? I said, so, in my view, or my point of view, right, I don't see it as a negative thing. I'm quite impressed by it. And everything he talked about on that tape, up until when he gets to his wanting you to worship some kind of God, and I'll touch on that too. I'm fine with everything else. He got my back in 360 on it. As far as Reverend Chavez, or what's his name? Coming over. It was after money embezzlement and after female harassment charges in the Christian church. So it's not an impressive move. If someone came over to me carrying that with them, I wouldn't put them on the podium next week before I investigate the reality of it. So Father becoming, you know, joining nations wrong doesn't make them look good. If you would have did that with a clean track record, I mean a fire and brimstone preacher, they would have something, you know, to fall about. But he just came out of an unsettled case of female harassment as a minister and money lost, I think, $330,000. If that was me, that'd be all over the place.
Right.
If I'm gonna say so, that'll impress me the least. You know what I'm saying? The main thing about the lecture is don't buy the hype. That was all hype. All the screaming and the yelling was hype. Because if you shave away all the hype and all that synthetic support, you get right back down to he said nothing that I didn't say before him. That I didn't say. Malcolm didn't say. Your father, those who are leaders say. He had nothing new to say. And that's the test of the time. We're in a new day and time, so in a new day and time, have something new to say. I'm a bad condition with the same bad information. The information has got to upgrade itself in order for you to upgrade people. And those who are me as a prophet will have a point, it made sense, and it lifted them to a certain level. I'm a reliable Muhammad, at a point, it made sense that day and time, and it lifted them for a certain amount of level. You know what I'm saying? Even Clarence 37, you got it now, 37, he had it and he lifted them up. But now what? We'll still talk the same stuff? So, and it's obvious, because he didn't say that there's no racism, it ain't about people's color, it's about he said how about it. He even said, get away from that God thing. And when he started explaining God, and I like to comment if you go and get today, he didn't talk about Farad at all on Farad's birthday. Elijah Muhammad's son, Ishmael, by another son, he did a Farad thing. Other ministers did it when they got there one by one. But he did. He did not give Farad no props. Because I know he's smart enough, but he can't get around those books. He's going to have to answer questions and can't. And all the people sitting there had their books in the back of their mind. Not that anybody in there or his diet, but some of those dying need that God. But the ones who want to will sit there and they will listen with that, with those two books in their mind. And two more coming out.
Your God, if I said it to him.
I'm talking about when you look back at the man, when you see those deities on the wall, they are God. When you look back in Egypt, you see a deity on the wall, they are God. That's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of God I'm looking at. That's the kind of God God forgot your work. And that's what they want to make you think when they say that idol work. And don't even define the word idol. What is an idol? The word they use in Arabic is mithala, like. They don't even have a word for it. Mithala is the root of the word for idol. What is it? If you idolize somebody, then doggone it, Master Prophet Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad are idols because you all idolize them. You have big old picture on the wall, bigger than life. So if you take it out of proportion of life, if you made it 1 inch larger than him, then you have now taken it and expanded God. So what's the problem? We don't have no problem with you calling our life Muhammad God. We know he's God.
Right.
We have a problem with you trying to make us worship a truth. Something you cannot prove. Or we don't have a problem respecting Climate 37 or 17, whatever you want to call that. But we're not going to worship the dead. You don't worship the dead. You respect the dead. You honor the dead. And only those dead people that did something is entitled to respect and honor.
Right.
Those that have it, they're buried with respect and honor, and everything about them is buried.
Yeah.
But those who have done something and made a mark have affected our lives, we respect them. We respect the mosque. And always will. Our mosque. If y'all don't want to be your mosque, they need our mosque. You put them in our bag with the rest of our stuff. Y'all want some Gulama Asif or Pakistani? That's your mosque. That's fine. Y'all want Master Prophet Muhammad call your mosque? That's your mosque. That's fine. Why we all can't have our own mosque? We all got our own shoes on. My foot at the same time as y'all. As long as we don't stand toe to toe. If all men got no problem, and you obviously y'all don't want to stand toe to toe with me on what mosque is like, but I wrote a whole book on how my mosque is the true mosque. I can see y'all. I ain't write a book on yours, so you won't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. Is that we are God, and we're reflections of God, and we're an image of God, and we're likeness of God. If that bothers you, then hey, you just have to live with your problem. You say, come and go. Get it yours. Carry, cut out, get a shot, but do something. But don't interfere with me and don't try to get me because you can't explain to me your food and you got a toothache anyway. I know you got a toothache. By toothache, I mean, I know there's stress in what you're teaching, but I can see it in your eyes. I can see a lack of confidence while I watch that tape. I don't watch that tape to watch that mouth. I watch that tape to while their mouth is moving, that sound is coming out. I want to see if they really accept what they're saying. But they know what they're saying. Anytime anybody starts talking about God, they don't know what they're saying because they cannot prove it. If I talk about a car, I can prove it. If I talk about this unk, I can prove it. If I talk about the compass and the square, the actual compass and the square, the actual unk, the actual car, I can prove it or take it to one. If I can't, I'll make one. Those are the principles of being confident and being in truth and being right. But not when I start trying to convince you that you are wrong if you don't believe in some unseen God. And give you a complex and try to make you feel guilty because you're the kind of person that says, I don't mind you look good feeling that way. But I'm the type of man that wants to know. That may I'm a different kind of being. You can call me the devil. You call me anything that makes you feel comfortable because I want to know. I just want to know. Is there anything wrong with that now? You talk to me about Allah. Tell me about Allah. Can you explain this thing to me? Don't say God is here. Get all that. And the worst thing you can do is run over to the Quran, a book written by mortals, if not written by mortals, recorded by mortals, stored in the subconscious or conscious mind of mortals and human beings who are all imperfect, like you said, a wobbling spirit, a wobbling mind. Your mother ain't going to go to the Quran and say, listen, the Quran says, Allah says, of course. The Quran was written for people like you that want to use the word of Allah. That's what the Quran is going to back up Islam. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses say the same thing. They got a whole bunch of books to back up Jehovah's Witnesses' jump. What about the universal truth? The universal truth would be to strip the name of Allah and tell me the meaning of it. And your scholars can't even do that. El Ilah or El Lahu. Or they don't even know what it means. You asked for the other day, some 5%. I believe in Allah. What does Allah mean? He said, huh? The word, not the house or person or whatever on a box of cookies. Whatever it is that you're going to lock. What does the word first mean? They can't tell you. Muslims are busy in law. What does the law mean? The God. What happens if the Germans never created the word God or good? Then what would you say to me? The Dutch, the French, the Guillaume, the Spanish? What would you say, man, that we need all these other languages? Stop everybody else's language, brother, and tell me what Allah means. Now, what would happen is, if he could speak the Arabic language, he would start giving you a commentary of Allah in Arabic. That's the only way you can explain Allah. Because Allah is an Arabic word. You can't explain Allah in Arabic word in English. You would be translating. The bottom is you'd be moving away, trance. You'd be going away from it. Trance of transitory, understand? You'd be going away from it because you cannot capture the actual meaning. The bottom, so now who's trying to pull me in and make you think that a person don't believe in God and they're a devil? The brothers don't believe in God, brothers don't believe in the devil either. I'm going to say that. They come together. Because you wouldn't do nothing with the God unless there was a devil. Because there'd be no purpose for your God if there wasn't no devil. So y'all need the devil as bad as y'all need your God. Because what would a religion be without the devil? What would be the purpose of Islam if there was no shaitan? What would be the purpose of Judaism if there was no hasatan? What would be the purpose of Christianity if there was no Babylon? You follow me, you ask the Muslims, do y'all need the devil? You better have the devil, because if you don't, you have to close your mouth and stop Mecca. Because the whole purpose of going to Mecca is to, oh, you can imagine. I mean, I'm Shaitan, but so Shaitan, everything you say. In your salon, you're praising Shaitan. When you eat, you're praising Shaitan. I don't want Shaitan to take my food. You know, not only we don't say God is a whip, only God and the devil is a whip. That's a whip club. Now all these elements have been locked in one world ideology and think you got a monopoly on the whole world got a big problem. Meaning, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is nothing but one ideology on the planet. You don't know nothing about the depths of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Zoroastrianism and a million other philosophies or doctrines or religions. It don't have nothing to do with your concept of belief. You only sound powerful because you're in a country that was owned and ruled and lived on by a group of people called Washita or Tunis from the ancient Almanac, who did not believe in that God, and the Christian concept came over here with, people who are Portuguese brought the Christian doctrine over here and spread there, and then later on, Judaism came over here, and then later on, Islam came over here, but the indigenous people of this land, the natives of what they call Americans, didn't know nothing about your God, and got wreckage that the Almighty is existing 900 years before Christ. Here, right on this land, America, 900 years before Christ, they're digging up heads right now in Mexico called Anastasia. And there they find traces of a people that look just like you before the year 570 when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was born. Before Jesus was born. You understand that? We got a life and a culture that goes back way before that. We were called Moors by race way before Moor was synonymous with Muslims. They were Moors before they were Muslims. They were called Morenos before Muhammad was even born. Right. Or Moors, the French way, before Muhammad was born. If I'm saying somewhere along the line, Islam fit its way into Moors. And now you got a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm a Moorish scientist, and raising their hands on Islam. Don't realize that Islam is taking away from the greatness of being a Moor because Islam was born in Arabia among Hindus and Turks calling themselves Arabs. And there was no Middle East. Look at the map again and then say Middle East. I'll show it all. Say, No, don't say the word. I mean, think about Middle East. Where is that? You do it. Put a black boy anywhere and do this, make a comment, and put Middle East there, right? How can there be Middle East? And this is west, and this is east, and this is north, and this is south. How can this be the Middle East? Now, we know of a thing called the Far East. That's the Far East. This would be the Far West. This would be the Far North. And this would be as far south as you can go, as far west as you can go, as far east. But there's no such thing as a Middle East. There's no such thing as an Arab. With natural roots, you will not trace Arabs to natural roots. You'll trace the people back to a man called Dotan, which will go back to Hebrew. But you will not find Arab as a race. The word Arab means automobile. And the word that Arab means to roam about, to move.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist. There was no such thing as Saudi Arabia. That oil over there is ours. Our land extends from California to where? The Persian Gulf. There was no split. There was no red or green sea. That's a natural threat. That Atlantic Ocean did not exist. I showed all that back in the Norwood. All those pieces fit right back in. Straight on down through South America. There's no such place as Puerto Rico. That just means that when they got there, he said, that's the richest port I've ever seen. So how now are you going to say that Puerto Ricans are poor people? And Puerto Ricans are minorities? And Puerto Ricans don't have nothing? And when you say Puerto Rican, you're saying they're rich. Simon Amorite says, you Puerto Ricans. He says, you people from that rich port.
That's right, that's right.
You say, well, what happened to the riches? What happened to the people of the port? I say what happened to them. They took it. They Puerto Rican. Vanguard, Fawcett, took it. Took the image of the Moors. But we had more in Morocco, more than Spain, more than France, more than all across Europe. More was what they called you by race. That had nothing to do with being Nubian. Had nothing to do with being Muslim or Hebrew. More described your race. More than them. Black. People from that black soil. Quran says it. Man was created from the dust of the ground. So every time they try to change the meaning of Nubian, and say, well, Aswan, from the word Aswan, black, does not even deal with the people there. It has to do with the soil of that place. Well, fine, because the people in that place, who walked in that place 5.1 billion years ago, walked alongside of dinosaurs in that place and left their footprint in that soil. And if your doctrine means the Torah and the Quran and the New Testament right, that man was shaped from the dust of the ground, then it was the black dirt of Aswan and shaped the skin of the man anyway, so it still covered the man. You are more. The modern science temple is relating to it from a Islamic standpoint of view, from a Moroccan standpoint of view. Bring out a Moroccan flag, not a Moorish flag. You with me? The Moroccan flag is red with a green star of Solomon, the sacred seal of Solomon, came into Morocco by way of France. That's where the word Moor, M-O-O-R, comes from. That's the French way, Moor. You don't know what they were called in their language. They might not walk up to you and you're from the modern science center of America, whatever nicknames you didn't add on or change into what you know for brother, and ask you to speak the language you spoke when you was a Almack, or speak the language you spoke when you was a Wachita, or speak the language you spoke as a Tunis, you can't. And Arabic is not that old. Arabic goes back again into biblical languages. Arabic again goes back into Genesis 10. And we know that that is two verses away, or two chapters away, from the Emirate.
Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Gives you the Emmaus, and then the what they call the most eloquent writing, the Gilgamesh epic, was covered in Noah's flood, which is from the fish children. And then you got on 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you start talking about Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian. And then you got to get into 11. You start talking about Chaldean. And not once we mention Arabic. But Arabic is a dialect of Ashuric. You know? So you ought to get that back too. A form that has a Jewish star on there. The 6-pointed star ain't no Jewish star. Someone lied to y'all. And you lied to yourself. Because you told me that David was a Muslim. You said Dawood in the Quran was a Muslim. So now Dawood is a Muslim. When you saw a brother from Ansar al-Allah with a 6-pointed star crescent on his hat, and that star is known as what? Molden? The star of David. Then why would you tell an Ansar, why are you wearing a Jewish star? That was a confession that David was not a Muslim. Plus, nowhere in the books of the Old Testament does David ever refer to himself as a Muslim. Now you say, well, Abraham named you Muslim. That's Quranic again. That came up between the year 610 and 631, because Muhammad died in 632. You cannot go to a new book and tell me about old things unless you tell me this book is an old book being retranslated. But you're not saying that about the Quran. You're saying it's a final revelation. Something revealed for the first time. When 99% of it is obviously not the first time here. Everything from prayer, walking, talking, eating, sacrificing, circumcision, and everything else was taken out the Torah. But because you claim that it wasn't, and if this is a revelation to Muhammad from cover to cover, and you put yourself in a bad way. But you gotta then show me, not in the Quran, show me in the Tanakh, in the Torah, where Abraham called himself a Muslim. Show me in the Torah, where Moses called himself a Muslim. And if you say, well, Shalom is the same as Salam, then why did y'all create Salam if Shalom already existed? Shalom Aleichem was good enough. Now I'm talking about that one session. And then you will notice. I'm trying to get it. What does Assalamu alaikum mean? What does it mean? Assalamu alaikum. The word alaikum means what? On. Alaikum means on you all. Alaikum is not through you. It's not in you. It's on you the way that Farbush or that Tahir or that Imma is on your head. This ain't close. But it's simple. But it was tricky. Some demon got into the game. Understand?
Yeah.
If I say to you, Salam, peace, alaykum, I'm saying peace on you. I'm not wishing you peace. I'm not saying peace to you. The peace does not see the jealousy in your heart. The jealousy is not in your body. The loss is not in your head. It's islands on the body. So when Muslims greet each other, it's a subtle trick. That's why I got Shalom out of it. But drop it back in. Because I tell you, Assalamu alaikum. The peace be on you. You don't need peace on you. You need to be in a peaceful state. Wa alaikum salam. And on you peace. Or ma salam. With you peace. With, like, with ma in Arabic. It's not with, like, in your character. That's anger. That's with, like, you're accompanying you somewhere. Let peace walk beside you. Maybe that's why so many of y'all get hit by a car. Because you get hit and the peace gets away. From the renewal. We have not heard of that in 1400 years. How come nobody in all Islam has ever said, you know, as
assalamu alaikum does not really mean anything. It's to help you. Just means peace be on you, on top of you. Like I put a glass on a cover piece of table. I put a book on a desk out of nothing. Is that real? And I put the print on the book, it would only be on a cover. So you could, if you say, and I know the Quran, the truth is on the Quran, you would not be saying the Quran has any truth. Alright, now if you read the Baqarah again, the first couple of verses, you're going to see that Allah, 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 Allah will be in. A seal on their heart, but they translated it in. Deception, hype. Everybody knew we were coming.
Right.
Nobody knew it. Everybody knew this day and time was coming. They were calculating and we were calculating. And we're the best calculating. Because we have worked it out. But that is not no Mormon flag. That is a Moroccan flag. Unless the Moors they're talking about are Moors that fall under the government of Morocco after the 17th century when that flag got there. And when Dus Ali was teaching No Jua Ali, Dus Ali was not using a Moroccan flag. Because also Marcus Moses Garvey was also taught by Dus Ali. And Marcus Moses Garvey introduced a red, black, and green, which was originally black, red, and green. The flag as found in the Sudan, the flag of the Mahdiya, with a spear and a crescent. That was the flag, black, red, and green. And all of your revolutionists throughout America, by whatever group or sect, are popping up the Mahdi flag. And don't even know. They got all these black monkeys, all these red, black, and green flags, all of this snapped off. The spear and crescent would symbolize the warriors of the Hadjid Dawah tribe that came down from the north to defend Sudan from Lower East Africa, because the Mahdi was from the Hadjid Dawah. Of the novel, a place. That was a place. So if I'm called Dongalawe, that's a name after a place. If I'm called Nubian, I'm named after a place. But what am I by race? More. What is my nationality? More. If you're going to be anything, you're going to be an African American, you're a Moorish American. He said that that's all right, but they got to separate that doggone Islam from it. Because we go back before Islam. All the pharaohs were Moors. And if you go to Europe and you read in any of their books in Latin, the father, don't let them, we got to stop letting them call Moorish brothers Latinos who's not speaking Latin. We got to get away from that too. Got another one of Roman ship, like Negra and Negro, which I showed y'all in the Bible. The Greeks were calling us Negroes. If all that, the Romans were calling us Foreigners. Jesus was called Foreigners. You know that in most Latino families? Because the mind had been a mess with the parents would tell them, don't be no lazy Foreigners.
That's right, I'm going to tell them.
Say no different your mother saying, don't go hang out them low like niggas. The same principle. But somewhere on the line they made more synonymous to low life. So we got to reinstate that. But we gotta make it clear to the Mars Science Temple, we are your brothers, but only as far as the truth.
Page, Inspiration versus Misformation, were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi Zayork, known to us as the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zodok El, our own Pharaoh, Amanubi Ru'akatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grand Master inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misinformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zoduk L.
Anybody have any questions that may have been passed?
Yeah. You know, about 2 weeks ago, you were talking about Moses and Pharaoh, and you were saying that everything that Pharaoh did, I mean, that Moses did, the Pharaoh had somebody to do it too. You were talking about the staff and the serpent. He said that's not what it really represented. So I want to know if you could tell us what it really was they were dealing with.
Well, the serpent in ancient Egypt was a symbol of power and authority. Moshe, as they call him, Moses, couldn't even leave Egypt without marching forth with a staff with a serpent on top of it. It later became a symbol of evil. A snake was not a symbol of evil in our culture. This was put together by those who grasped the Bible and turned the word Nakash into serpent, when the word Nakash simply means whisperer, just like the Muslims grasped the word Hanas from the word Nakash. And it would have been too broad to say anybody that whispers is the devil. You follow, especially in a lodge where people whisper in each other's ear the secret word. That whispering transaction of the master mason to the fellow craft would be interpreted by some critics in the Christian belief as, if they understood the Bible, as a form of serpent activity, because the serpent is supposed to have a hiss. Yeah, so what happened is they had to change it from whisperer to snake. Follow that? And then, of course, they support it with "on his belly shall he go" for the rest of the days, but if you begin it, that's an admission that he was on his feet first. And they don't have on their records in their history a period of time when snakes were walking. Though they go back to Babylon, Shinar, and they see on the wall a picture of a serpent with legs. But that period is called prehistory. So he only deals with history, those things that happen on this side of things. Found that? So it was considered a symbol of power and authority in ancient Egypt, right? Yeah, in the back. Should be hard to hear you, but I'm going to try.
It says that the human aura or is negative. Like what we're trying to do is try to make it a positive. Realigning ourselves, but with the new being is,
no, what I'm basically trying to say is everything that has been taught to us about us is negative. We can't just throw it away. We got to turn it to our favor. In other words, the currents that are coming at us from six feet of being is negative energy. We shouldn't let it bounce off us into the universe. We should absorb it within inside of us, or as I simply say, right to wrong. Absorb it. The same thing applies to the aura, right? The human aura right now, because of the magnetic imbalance of the planet Earth, most people are walking around with negative currents. They've been encouraged to think negative. Because they've been encouraged to think survival. They've been encouraged to think me, myself, and I. And that has bred this individualism that breaks you away from being a part of all. And that's negative. We've now, instead of sending that out into the universe, we've got to, as God, absorb it. We got to absorb the hate. Not just close the door on the hate. From there, we got to absorb all the negative energy. But we got the power to do that. We can take an angry person and turn them nice. If I'm saying, we can take negative energy and absorb it within us and in ourselves, and it still won't destroy us as long as we're standing there with God and not a mere mortal working off emotion. Got me? Yes, sir. I'm having a problem.
Every couple of days,
right. The Netero, which is the ancient word for nature, you, Aeneas, the woman, is at work, taking vengeance on her people. Like the Bible prophecies, and the Christians and the Jews have always said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And if you think of how God, Yahweh, Elohim, Theos, Allah, how would he take vengeance? I'm saying he because that's a term they use. There's no he or she involved in nature. But how would he or she take vengeance on mortals? Can anybody tell me? What would be the tools that the Most High would use to affect mortals? Say again? All you guys just open your books in the Christian Bible to Matthew 24, and they tell you about pestilence and plague and disease. They tell you about earthquakes. The Quran speaks about Zilzal, the shaking of the earth, the Ariat, the rising form of the horsemen. All through history, they keep saying that when this Most High power decides to take vengeance on mortals, they tell you it's going to be through nature. And now that we're living in a day of that great and dreadful day of the Lord, everybody is asking the same question. What's going on? Well, what do you expect God to do? You expect God to do what Christians, after Jesus had already left, started teaching. See, what they were doing, they were creating the expectation philosophy. The expectation philosophy breeds people not getting up and making things happen right now. Islam teaches it, Judaism teaches it, and Christianity teaches it. Expectation philosophy is, I am expecting my Lord and Jesus Christ to come one day and solve all the problems. So meanwhile, you can kick me in the butt. I'll just turn the other cheek. Muslims are saying, he's adding up with Allah, he was left. One day this help from Allah is going to come, and that's going to be our victory. You see the expectation philosophy. Unrealistic. And now that the power of nature, of which all of them agree, has something to do with the creation of human beings insofar as they'll say in Islam, well, man was created from mud. Correct? Or dust. That's earth. There's no place on the planet earth where you can walk over and grab a handful of dirt, put it under a microscope, and not already find living bacteria. There's no place where you can find dust and put it under a microscope and not find living bacteria. So according to the Muslim world and the Christian world, when God created man from the dust of the ground or from the mud of the earth, God wasn't creating the life. God was creating the body. The life was already there in the dust and the mud. Because again, I say, there's no place on the planet where you can grab a handful of dirt and put it up under a mic and you won't find some type of living bacteria. Even 6,000 years ago. Or better yet, 4,004, which is the Christian calendar calculation. You know what I'm saying? Life was already there. Who put that there? Who created that form of life? What they're saying is shaped and formed, fashioned and shaped, man or mortal, of the dust or mud of the ground. But the life was already in it. That is working with nature. That nature had already provided life in the mud. Life is in the water. There's no water anywhere where you can put a tube of water, take it and put it under a microscope. What will you see? You'll see life. Again. So if God took the dirt and the water, life and life, water, female, earth, man, that's why earth in the Bible is called Adama, male. Male and female created he, them. Woman is the water, man is the earth. They got it backwards. Put them together and formed mud. Two forms of life came together there. Or two forms of matter that contain life were brought together for a greater purpose. You follow that? That was nature at work. They can say or imply that a God reached down and did it with his own hands, they feel like. But then we'll get into if he had hands. Well, no, he didn't have hands. He just willed it into happening. He thought it, and the mud came together and started to shape it. So he had a preconception of what it would be shaped like. He has a mind. No, see, God don't have to do that. See, God could just imagine things like kun, fire, kun, think, and into existence they go. So he thinks that. Though if he has to stop to think, there's a point when he's not thinking.
and we had to think of the time, the idea of creating a human being, he had to say, I'm going to let us make a man. So what was he thinking the day before that? What was he thinking before he thought of creating man on behalf of mortals, I mean? Was he just there by himself? If nobody else was there with you, what would you be thinking about? If none of the things you understand or understand have been created yet, what would you reflect on? Could you have an active subconscious mind? You understand? Could you have an active subconscious mind? A subconscious mind is when you store information. Could you have an active subconscious mind to store information before information was formed? With me? What was this God doing? What was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing before he said that a khalaqna al-insana min whatever? Because the Quran changes what means mud, means clay, then it's mud, then it's water, then it's from a single male and female, then it's from a cloud and velvet, whatever prophet or poet wrote it. What was he thinking, or what was he discussing with his wife the night before? Oh, I forgot. He doesn't have a wife. And he doesn't have any children. So he was sitting somewhere with his hands. It had nothing to do with the hand. So he said to himself, let up. Holding up his hand and creating his own trinity. Let up. Me, you, you, and me. Make a man. In our image. And after I liked it, then he went and shaped the mud and then said, and he blew into man the breath of life, and man jumped up a living soul. How long? How long are we going to be believing this crap? When are you going to give this back to him and laugh and say, nice to come? Just like you go back to the video store and you turn back in videos. It's time to turn back in the video called His Story. Yeah. Say it was a nice story. Thank you. I rented this video. I took it home. We watched it. It impressed me. I had moments in it where I believed it. It ended. The title came up here. Because as the sister's asking me, what about all these tornadoes and things? Because their book of Revelation didn't tell them about that. Their book of Revelation tells them, wait for the craft to come. What about the people that are getting whipped up by nature right now before Jesus gets back? They go to church Sunday faithfully. But tornadoes don't pick Friday nights to come or Monday morning. Tornadoes come. And they didn't prepare us for that. That's why you're asking. And it's happening all over the world. They're flooding in London. They're flooding in Germany. They're flooding the tornadoes. The volcano that's been dormant for thousands of years just erupted. They didn't prepare us for that. But have you noticed that it has not really affected us?
Right.
That we are where we're supposed to be. It wouldn't be bothering us. If we are in the wrong environment at the wrong time with the wrong people, I don't care whether it's a bus, truck, or plane. I was talking to a lady yesterday in the store, and I said, I don't know about all this flying, because, you know, 9 planes came down last week alone. She said, hell, the plane could have fell on somebody who was on the ground. I said, that's true. And then I wanted to, like, you don't have to be in a plane to die. What about the people that was on the ground when the plane came down? I said, that's the reality of it. That's true. So nature is doing this. You know why? Because it's our time. We should not be worried. Rain, most of y'all would have kept sitting here. And we're going to start it smelling like dogs, either. Let me give him a drip. It's our time. We work with nature. You with me? The Bible, the Quran, and all of those silly little books, that video we rented from them,
some 2,000 years ago, we got the winter storm. Say, yo, got you that video on a white daughter who came to Earth to save everybody? We took that video home for the video for our Lord Jesus Christ. We popped it into the video recorder of our heart. And we stopped there and we absorbed that crap and we've been waiting ever since. If you're Christian, you're saying, you shouldn't be talking about us like that. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about fools. And you're the fool. You wouldn't be good there. You came out here to find out, what about that video, Jesus Christ? Whole bunch of Muslims popped in a video called Muhammad the Arabian Prophet is the answer to all the Negro problems. They slide that video in their heart. Whole bunch of Hebrew Israelites and Israelite church took another one and said, we are the children of Israel, and Yahweh is the answer to all the Negro problems. And they slid that video inside their church. But the video ends. But time don't. Christianity is going out. Islam is failing. You with me? Judaism is gone. But time hasn't. And we have withstood all the crap. And now we're saying, okay, tell us the truth. Movie's over. Tonight's movie had a little drama, had some lust in it. Read the Bible. It's got sex, it's got what? Violence, it's got all the things a good movie has, any Steven Spielberg does. But it's over. It doesn't apply to us no more. And now Mother Nature is showing everybody on the planet who's the boss.
Yeah.
The baddest military in the world. They couldn't do nothing about them tornadoes. They went through military bases flipping planes. Whether it's in China, they think they're sophisticated, or Russia who thought they were sophisticated, or America who thought they had sophisticated military capability. Mother Nature goes through airports with tornadoes and flips over planes. Topples boats or massive ships. People are walking around the street now thinking they did not have to answer to any force other than themselves. When they got fed up with the God principle, they went into the self principle. But a force steps in and says, you may have given that video back on Jesus Christ, that video back on the Muhammad crap, but you still got to deal with the breath of life. And what do? They remind you that you ain't as bad as you think you are. Because you're worried. You're worried your house might be next. And all the crosses and the crescents and all the Korans and the Bibles in them houses, churches be getting snatched up by nature. Nature don't come down the block and look at the Baptist or the Pentecostal church and say, well, I'm just going to leave that one alone. Nature comes down the street, knocks up churches, bars, discos, health bars, hospitals. Nature doesn't respect crap. Nature only respects nature when it responds. And we're in the same time where they're trying to suppress the reality that nature is at work. And there is no more room for the crap, the tribute, or the silly religions of expectation. You know how long you've been waiting for Jesus? Everybody here has a relative, more than likely, that belongs to one of the monos, God of ignorance and arrogance, if you look it up. One of the monotheos, the Greek pluralization for God theory, one of the monotheistic religions. Your grandmother or great-grandmother believed that Jesus is going to come save her. I remember hearing Herbert W. Armstrong on television, the plain truth, say, I know I'm going to live to see Christ return. He's dead. He didn't see his kind of Christ come. The kind of Christ Christianity is looking for. This is the expectation religion. You understand what I'm saying? I want you all to get that in your head so you can kick it back out there. You got to sit around in your world of illusion. Muslims. In Mars, making Salah a victim to Allah. Every now and then, somebody text me. Still, they go to Mecca and die. Still, they plan a plan. Look at this. They plan a plan, and Jesus plans a plan, and Jesus is the best of planners, insofar as the plan.
plans that the Arabs had in New York last week to blow up some buildings was abruptly right blocked by Christians. Christian FBI ran in and shot two Muslims up and stopped them from doing their bombing in the name of Ismailani. Is that right? Was that in the media? All them niggas laying in the hospital with bullet holes in them? Did the bombing stop? So instead of saying they plan a plan and Allah plans a plan and Allah is the best of planets, you got to change that around now. You got to say, we plan a plan and the FBI plan a plan and the FBI was the best of planets. The FBI is more powerful than Allah. Because the Muslims did not succeed. That they were moving in the name of an all-powerful, unstoppable God. Could anybody have stopped that?
No.
Heck no. Would the old Sheikh be in jail doing life if he was following his God and his God was a good God and a powerful, all-knowing God? Would his butt be in jail doing life in America in a Christian jail?
No.
Would his father be in jail? Hello? You don't knock. Allah, wake up, Muslim. Your God is dead. Your God does not respond to you. You get no help. There's no knock of Allah anymore. Now, if you pick up the Holy Quran and you start to read it, you might hear Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make you feel good, that he got help from Allah. When did it stop? You know what I'm saying? If you read the Islamic Studies theater, Histories of Islam, and trace it all out, you go back 1,400 years ago, and the Prophet Muhammad, according to their writings, got help from Allah against his enemy. Right? When did it stop? Why is Lebanon a parking lot now? Lebanon was an Islamic country with some Christians in it. They fought the Christians, they lost. Lebanon's a parking lot. When was the help? Masa Nasrullahi. And Muhammad's answer was, in the Nasrullahi Kareem. Surely the help of Allah is near. Well, it wasn't nowhere near Iraq when Saddam Hussein, who is a Muslim, was fighting against the Christian world, the U.S. of AIDS. Where was Allah? And when Kuwait was getting ready to get attacked by Saddam, the Muslims in Kuwait did not run into the mosque and fall. Them on up into the future. That's when it was pure. But it stopped
moment the desert Arabs got involved. And when you look on television and you see World D. Muhammad, I know you love him. I love him too. He's my brother, but he's confused. He got hit in the head with a rock, boy, I ain't got no sense. He's always, and almost all of you Muslims out here are always surrounding yourself with desert Arabs. I don't never see Word D. Muhammad. I don't never see Minister Louis Farrakhan around no Nigerian Muslim, or no Muslim from Somali, or no Muslim from Sudan, or no Muslim from Ghana, or no Muslim from Senegal, or no Muslim from France. They're always around Pakistanians, Saudi Arabians, a whole bunch of what the Quran told them to watch out for, El Arab, desert Arabs, they call them the most deceptive. And when we as Ansar refuse to sit down at the table with them and do what Farrakhan just did, you understand? I refuse to let them come to me and put a turban on me about my way of life. Say, get out of my face, jump. I had Islam before you knew what Islam was. Before Muhammad was born, we had Islam. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to come and try to ask me, well, I want to join the Islamic Council with a bunch of confused Al-Arab, a bunch of Hadith-following fools. And I have an answer to hell no. You got to go. And Muslims, black skin, woolly head, picky head, buckwheat-ass niggas with tabis on, got mad at me because I don't want to kiss no Arab butt. And I must not, he must not be a Muslim. He ain't one of old ass all, he's a co-father. They're all in my private life. But I don't want to fall in the trade. I said, I'm hanging out with Sudan. And I picked Sudan over Nigeria because I can overlay this cloud in Sudan. And everybody here with nappy hair, the wavy hair, the light skin, the dark skin, the long nose, the wide nose, the brown, the black, the beige skin would fit in Sudan without any racial problems. Unfortunately, if you went to Nigeria, some of y'all, they'd be saying, you look Nigerian. Others, they'll be saying, what are you? But almost most of y'all got mistaken as a Sudanese, as an answer. People say, are you Sudanese? Tells you where you had roots. Now, they didn't say roots, I said roots. So, when did they lose the power? They lost the power when they suppressed us. When they caused Fatima her life. When they sought out and killed Hassan and Hussein, the sons of Ali and Fatima, and they killed the Prophet's family. That's when they lost it. And the fools that are in Islam now are demons. When did Christianity lose its power? When Paul went and followed Jesus' disciples. You with me? When he fabricated his own doctrine. When Paul was a self-proclaimed disciple while walking on a roadside by himself, said, I had a vision. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul. But he proceeded to call himself Paul. You tell me that God, the Son of God, talk to me, the Son of God in flesh, called you Saul, but you call yourself Paul? If God called me Banana Head, my new name would become Banana Head. And I'd be proud of it. But Paul says he met Jesus on the roadside. So it could not be confirmed by the special disciples of Jesus, only by a handful of people who wanted to listen to Paul. You understand? They lied on Jesus. Where did it go bad? When the Romans, equivalent to El Arab, the desert Arab, got into that religion, which was not Christianity, there's no such word as Christianity. Jesus never heard the word before in his life. Christians are being taught in church to call on somebody who would not respond. The boy's name was Yeshua. Yeshua Bar-El. You with me? And that L was on the end of Gabriel, making him a whore. He would have never known who you was talking about. So that's where that died.
But now, these videos you've shown us are rewritten stories that I'm supposed to accept on what you call faith and live in a world of expectation until I die. Jesus is coming. My grandmother said Jesus is coming. My great-grandmother said Jesus is coming. And on the other side of my family, they were Muslims, and they were saying the same thing about the Mahdi and the Messiah. The Messiah, he's coming. Generations passed, and he did not come. Believe you me, there's fools in church right now saying, today on Sunday, Jesus is coming. They still believe it. Jesus said to in St. John, you see me in a little while. We're 2,000 years away. Jesus' concept of a little while in most people is real different. Muhammad said, surely the help is near. In the mouth of Allah, he called even. Surely the help is near. Muhammad said that 1,400 years ago. Muslims are still getting beat up. Starving. Christians are starving. They want to hide Jimmy Swagger. Now you ain't hiding Jimmy Swagger. Pull Jimmy Swagger out of there so we can talk about him. Jimmy Swagger had a whole population of us believing that he was right. Jimmy Swagger had his hand in somebody's pocket swagging the stuff out. He got caught in a hotel with some old girl. Now you want to hide that that's Christianity. Jim Baker, another one. You bear with me? You want to hide that Jim Baker was all homosexual, stealing money from people in the name of the Lord. All I'm saying is, why should I trust you now? Why should I trust any more of you? You understand? Farrakhan changed a million-man march into a million-dollar march, sticking the money in his pocket. Why should I trust Farrakhan? I can't question him. I can't question your preacher without you getting mad at me. Let me ask your minister some questions to see how he handles it. You want me to ask you a good question? Want something new? Let's do it, huh? Here's a new one for you. Bad Christian that is you. I know you recognize that as Ham. Right? I know you recognize this one as Mizraim. Correct? Who was Ham in the Bible and who was Mizraim in the Bible? Talk to me. Huh? That's right. Sons of Noah. According to the Bible, there was a great flood, and the whole world, except for Noah and his family, was destroyed, drowned. Is that correct? Everybody on the planet Earth was drowned in Noah's time. This is what your religion teaches you. You're walking. Now, Noah, as they say, became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, three sons. Right? After the flood, there should be nobody on the planet now but Ham and his family. I want you to get that in your head now. Everything else is dead. Drowned. No more, there's no civilization, nothing. Okay? This man, Noah's son, Ham, with the Egyptologists, Ham, with the Egyptologists who think they know what they're talking about in America, they're calling chemists, or chemists, or chemi, or chemistry. You with me? They're just one of the sons of Noah. And on that son, they get Mizraim, who becomes known in their Bible as Egypt. Mizraim in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, look at any strong concordance type of Egypt, and you'll see the word Mizraim. And Mizraim is one of the sons of the sons of Noah. And nobody's on the planet before them. You with me? Then we go to Genesis chapter 10. And walk Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. And you're going to find out that there were seven generations of people between Mizraim and a man called Terah. Terah was the patriarch of their religion, they say. Abraham didn't know nothing about Christianity or Islam. His name was Abraham. Terah is the father of Abraham. Are you with me?
is the way they traveled back then. I lived there. You just believe it. They had to travel from Turkey all the way to a place that did not exist if the flood really took place and everybody who was on the planet was dead, right? So they went over to a place that didn't exist, and a boy named Mithraim, who was a descendant from Ham, settled over there and it became known as Egypt. What they say in the Bible is Mithraim, or Muslims say Muslim. With me? Seven people. Look at yourself. Your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your great-great-grandmother, and your great-great-great-grandmother. Seven people back. Go back from Tira to Mithraim, which really comes out to be six people. Now, Abraham, the son of Tira, travels eastward on a journey, the Bible says, with me, and goes into the land of Egypt. And on his way in there, he encountered a Pharaoh with great power. Yeah? A great power, a Pharaoh, was living in Egypt when Abraham got there, who wanted to take Abraham's wife. Wanted to take Abraham's wife. And Abraham gave him up because, because he was a punk. Because he was a chump. That's the only reason why he gave his wife up, because he's a punk. You understand? I believe it. Real is real. But let's get back to that. So seven people from Mithraim, and Mithraim was the first there after the flood, and he set up the whole empire of all of Egypt and his 36th dynasty, built all the pyramids and his things, all the obelisks, all the pylons of Babel and fell, and all the different clothes, the designs, the concepts that they do not find in Israel, they do not find in Noah's time, the whole thing of Egypt, chemistry, alchemy, he did all that in seven generations before Abraham got there. And by the time Abraham got there, they had this massive big empire. It was so powerful that a Hebrew prophet had to humble himself before those people. You get where I'm going?
Yeah.
There ain't no way in the hell they could have built the great Egypt with seven families. No way possible. Somebody's lying. Either the Abraham story going down there is a lie, or there is no Egypt. Now I know there's an Egypt because I can go to Egypt and see Egypt. I can't go to Abraham and see Abraham. I can't go there. But I can go see Egypt, and on the walls of Egypt, I'll see you. You with me? In the Bible, your God acknowledges the greatness of Egypt. But your God sends the greatest of you to Egypt for protection. He sent Jesus there. And said, Jesus, go down there in Egypt and stay there until Herod is dead. He sent the best of the human beings, according to you Christians, amongst us, pagans, for Satan. Abraham went down there because the land that was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey that his God told him would be an everlasting covenant in that land. The everlasting must have went void, and God must have lost control of the elements because a famine came into a land that was supposed to be an everlasting covenant and a land flowing with milk and honey called the land of Canaan. And it got cut off. Read the Bible. And then their God tells them, go down to the pagans in Egypt, Abraham, because they have. With me? Moses, the father, the literate, or the scholar, or the recorder of the record of the law, called the Torah, was born and reared in Egypt, educated until he was 40 years old in Egypt. Their God, who controls all things, put the man who was to write their scripture, not in a Hebrew environment, but in an Egyptian environment, so he can come out of the Egyptian Book of the Dead and write his Torah to guide his people. Why? Because if it's true that Mithraim was the son of North, then Mithraim was also an original Hebrew according to your doctrine, which is wrong, but there was no such thing as Hebrew yet. So when Abraham went to Egypt,
He was not going to see a new people. He was going amongst his uncle's people. There was no new religion. The people of Noah forgot the religion. Obviously, Mitzrayim picked up and migrated and took all of the customs of Israel, before it was called Israel, of the Hebrews, before it was called Hebrews, and set up the land of Mitzrayim. And the people who lived in Babylon under Babylonians, calling themselves Israelites, lost the law and lost the Ark of the Covenant and lost their dress code. When you see a Muslim woman with a headpiece on, and you look at the Egyptian statues of a Nemuz, we call it, it's the same headpiece. You hear me? Somebody did something. When you jump down, way down to Christianity, and you speak about the resurrection of Christ, raising him from the dead, bringing him back to life, you go to Egypt, and you find what? The breaking of the mouth ceremony performed on all of the pharaohs that were gods after they were dead. When the Orion star made a 70-day travel around, when it rose again on the horizon, the sun resurrects the horoscope. The Greek word horius for sun in the Bible, when that sun rose, then the pharaoh was taken and put in his turban and lifted, and his mouth was opened so that the light from that star could reanimate his body, and he was considered being transported from death back to life. This is in Egyptian writing, predating Christianity. So what it is, he's a human god and walked the earth. He died. They have a massive ceremony. They put him inside a sarcophagus, which is a pyramid or a tomb, and then they resurrect him back to life for eternity. That's what they promised you in Christianity. You understand? That was copied out of our books. The whole concept of the resurrection or the coming of God is no more in the horizon, the sun. Sunrise and sunset. You use the word set for sunset, and it just happens to be the deity of night in Egypt, the brother of Osiris or Uthir. It just happens to be sunset. You borrowed it from ancient Egypt. When that sun comes over the horizon, you see the light of the sun travel across the water. With that, if you were there in the morning and you can watch the sun come up over the water, you see the light of the sun move right across the water. Right? The sun of God walks the water. You copy that from us. Joseph, flavored sea salt. Some say flatter, some flatter stuff. He wrote plays based on our story and wrote it into his story. You with me? His story is based on life. Our story is based on darkness. But it made you think that the devil was in darkness and that God was in light, when in actuality, if God said, let there be light, then God had to have been in darkness to cut the light off. So darkness had to be there first. I'm not talking about race of people. Don't start patting yourself on the back. I'm talking about darkness. I'm talking about, the kids just got hurt. I'm talking about how when you go to your house tonight, women, and you get ready to go to sleep, and the television is playing, or the record player is playing, and someone's in the back eating and laughing and joking, and you go in the room, you say, could y'all do me a favor, Aaron? Could y'all quiet down a little bit, because I'm about to go to... And then I go in my room, and my room is full of my stuff, surrounding me, colorful things, memorable things. I must do what? I must cut off the light to bring that place to a peaceful, blissful, tranquil environment. I must get back into the darkness before I can go to sleep. And maybe I can't sleep with the light on. You have to turn it off. Well, the devil, Beelzebub, as some call him, Zuhen, Shaitan, Hakatan, Satan, Diablo, they got all kind of names for him. Diabolus, Apollos, whatever all the names they could figure up to call somebody who doesn't cooperate with him, has been ruling the day in chaos. And now the night is coming for a new sun cycle. You follow that? And everybody knows. If everybody can feel that something is happening in the world.
Right.
All over the world. Somebody up there saying, keep the planes out my sky. If I wanted y'all to fly, I would give y'all wings. Now, he's so compassionate and concerned, he doesn't kill everybody that goes up. But there's not a place on the planet where a plane has gone up where somebody didn't crash. But we're so dumb, we bungee jump even after the cord pops. So people are still flying. Folks are thinking. So now, because that's not affecting you, the powers of the ancestors, the ancient ones, are now moving inland and knocking on your door. And houses are floating away. Not houses in ghettos only. Mansions are rolling down the hill. Rich people who thought they had it together. They're watching their house float away. They're watching everything that they thought was important in this world. All the mundane, all the material things float down the road under the power of nature. Because those people that rule are unjust. They are unfair. They don't play fair. And that puts most people in a position where there's nothing you can do about it as an individual. You understand? You're caught or locked in a system where you click on a television and they program you with programs. You understand? You got some tapes or some samples already stored inside the tape recorder before you put the disc in. So forces of nature have to step in on the part of those that want to do right. And they'll start making you feel good. All the new age people. What does a new age mean? It means they're fed up with the old damn age.
Right.
They're fed up with that crap. We're fed up with trusting our politicians. We're trusting our leaders and our preachers. We're fed up with that crap. All we want the hell to do is get along. Half of the white people didn't like what happened to Rodney King. And half of the black people like myself knew O.J. was guilty. But could we sit down, us and all have that kind of intelligence and meet? No, because we don't control the media. Those who want to control our emotions control the media. And they wanted to make you think that all black people was for O.J. killing those people. You follow that? And make us think that all white people was for those handful of cops beating up Rodney King.
Yeah.
And that's keeping things the way they want. That's business. That's the devil at work. You hear me? But how long? How long? Nature's stepping in and kicking ass.
Right.
Nature's mopping this place up. Everybody knows they expect something. But they come out here and say to us, we hear that your leader teaches that y'all believe that a craft is going to come out the sky and save y'all. Do y'all? I'm crazy for that. Oh, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it goes, and it says, there's going to be a ship coming out of the sky, and Jesus is in the ship. This ship has doors in it, floors in it. It has doors for people's name, like it's a theater. All the disciples got their private room, in this Bristol city, with their name on the door, right in the Bible. It says it's coming down out of heaven. A crash. Nobody's running up there. Billy Graham and say, Billy O'Graham. Oh, Billy Graham. Or Reverend Price. Ain't that a name for a preacher, Reverend Price? I don't know what Price means. I know that Reverend Price has got something to do with money. no tafsir, no interpretation. I want to know, do you believe in the Bible, the Word of God, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation? Do you or don't you believe in the Bible? That's all I want to know. You got the Bible up, you beat me with the Bible, I go to jail, you made me put my hand on the Bible on my way out. I get the Bible when I'm dying, you got a guy reading the Bible when my baby's born, you're trying to read the Bible. Hell, I've been beat up with the Bible so damn much, all I want to know is the all believers. Stupid, too. You've been pushing it down my throat so many years, I forgot to ask you. You understand? They got a certain, a courtroom in Godly Trust. And the young boy, what's his name, who went crazy and blew up the FBI building. What's his name? Max Bay. Young boy went crazy. You know the funniest thing that bothered me about that thing? For them to ask, is he crazy? After he killed 160 people, someone said, you think he's crazy? The fact that a bunch of psychiatrists, you know, Sigmund Freud, gathered in a room with degrees, you know what I'm saying? These guys had degrees, they went to school, they had great suits and stuff. You know that? That's their cases and hush puppies on. These niggas gathered in a room and said, you think it's crazy? Hell, a man blew up a building, killed women, children, rats, roaches, fowls, babies, everything. You think he might be crazy? You with me? Then they go into the courtroom under the sign in Godly Trust, and human beings, people who say they believe in the Bible, were saying, burn him, kill the boy, 27 years old, kill him, I want him dead. One woman had the audacity to admit her cluelessness, how dumb she was. On national television, everybody missed it. What she said? She said, I did not believe in the death penalty until he killed my loved one. Listen to what that meant. I did not believe in the death penalty until he killed my loved one. So everybody else's children and babies that were killed by serial killers and coups, it was okay. But the moment the angel of death knocks upon your door, you get a whole new policy on vigilantism. They turned the damn country into Thank you. I had everybody saying, kill the boy, kill the boy. Nobody said, cure the boy, cure the boy. Because if this boy went off because of what happened at Waco, you understand? Then some other boy is going to go off. And what they're going to do is they're going to study the mistakes he made, do the same thing without the mistakes, because, hell, the boy was dumb. The boy was dumb. He's a nice kid, but he was dumb. He made mistakes. You don't go up FBI building and drive a car that breaks down on the highway unless you're kind of dumb. You can't be that bright. You blow up the FBI building, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and your car breaks down on the highway. You made more money for the bombs than you did the car to get away from. That's like these hip-hops with their shoes untied and their pants down running from the police. How dumb can you be? But because of all of this, because the state the world is in, because there's nothing that no one, no one leader, no one church, no one person can stand up and do to stop it, everybody said, God help us, Allah help us, Yahweh help us, Adonai help us, somebody help us, and nature steps in to help. The problem is you looking for nature to be your God. You've been taught through your Bible or your Quran, and that's crap. Nature is stepping in. You know what you find in towns where white folks and black folks hated each other? They got to help each other prepare for the flood coming in. They all passing the sandbags together. When the houses are floating, they're sharing apartments with each other, shelters, sharing food. If I see a white baby floating down the street because I'm black, I'm going to go like this, I'd be the devil. I'd become the devil immediately. If I was, yeah. I'm supposed to help. And anybody who don't help another human being, that is the devil. I don't care what color you're going.
You know what I'm saying?
You are the best master, thus you are the best God. Because you cannot lie to God, and only be truth and empowerment of me, you cannot lie to these yourself. So now I'm ready for my coming. You judge what you judge. And so he said, I am that I am. You hear I am that. I am that I am. He said, I am that which I am. I am that I am. I am. But if I was out of God, out of good, and was in a being, he never told his name. And the answer is made, so I am that I am. You have to learn to think that I am that I am. That it means what you see is what you get. But it's simple, it sounds complicated. It turns into all the mystical interpretations in the Kabbalah of the Jews. It simply means I am that I am. No more, no less. So God knows we're going to spend this evening before we go on to a ritual is to ask some questions about the spiritual. You can't, because there's several levels here of cognition. Everybody's got the same level. And you can't ask any questions, especially to answer questions from the right or left level. And then the person level, you can get the answers unless you haven't studied yet. Or you can't even have that one. So you have to be wise enough to have a question big enough that the answer is big enough in order not to throw into what is not ready to say to you what not ready to say. Alright? Any questions? So, I know one thing everybody keeps asking me every year at this is in our principles, it says that the long walk. Short path. So what do you mean by that? What do you mean? I said that back in the day back in 1970. What I mean by that is we're in a short period of time to take a long walk. It takes most people a lifetime to be just a Christian. For a lifetime to be a Jew. For a lifetime to be in politics. And I said, well, between 1978 and 2000, you have 30 years. You have to take a long walk or a short path. A short path is 30 years. The long walk with the amount of information, the amount of schools of thought that you would have to go through if you transform the morals in your body. I transform back into God, back into peace, back into medicine. There was a long journey for a very short time. That's the limit. The long way for the partners, you've got to learn to get the long way on a short time. And most of you who've been there for many years have got so much information. If you die for the level today, when they attack you on the streets, how can you possibly feel that much information? The answer is going out to the wrong way on the short path. Your story was wrong on the wrong path. It's taking you the short of the street. Do you have any questions? Yes. Understood the language of you know? So some of you people who just got here, we'll never be able to have those spirits. And Yeshua had by now spiritual masters lived amongst us who had taken that ball and left and shut that and been able to come and instruct them in the many experiences that they went through while walking, but half-written. Unfortunately, so many of them didn't, because their hearts were moved. They were just feeling sick. They were just hurt. They never really heard the message. You know what I mean? So we wish that those feelings. It doesn't mean we lose. They're all part of the verb. It's not true. Both of them say things like that, so they're not true. We want to be the first to understand that. All of us, we were not the world to be true. We came out of the world of response and self-preservation and self-righteousness and ego, which is running first. Introduced them to a culture that Ansel Law tried to introduce, which meant displaying themselves in the world and the family and the nature. And so, what's the good group? They only showed the people that was going to Ansel Law his girl, or his children out of his place. So, we're not doing so. They never really got the spiritual side of our future. And we're going to serve them again later, years ago, to the Sufis. And we started. And that stopped because people were taking the message and giving it to their lovers. And passing to their wife, so it's not right, so it's okay. Because it's not right, so it's okay. And the spiritual masters came to me and said, they are dishonoring the secrets and not keeping the secrets. So we must go underground again. And that's why I spoke. And we embrace the wisdom, it will come forth again. It's short of time. The good of the to get the job done. And if people here can keep the secret safe, then things will be revealed to them. And now, out of the open doors, the engineers and team have given me the secrets that we have kept safe for so long. Now that we're supposed to know about ourselves and how it all happened. Haven't done it yet. I thought about this, I thought about science. Of education, respecting the world, but I don't think that we need to put aside and cast on those secret words, the words that are massive, burn up and rock so bad. The secret words that we nations have been trying to get, that give you the entire thing, can't pass it on to the next. And you don't know what the women is, you become your own judge. You got it? So whether we go with it, it in some years, for 20 minutes, that you intend to do the right thing. You turn to work by spirit, not by body. You turn to involve, become a part of the names of the Son's life. Keep it easy. You want to miss one. When you come here, you just want to be part of the mystic order of the pure spirit. You don't take initiation, don't die with destruction, no real thing. Listen, it's subscribe to it, and just make your mind and your body. It's just something else to do. Even if you're waiting for, they are very serious. And their learners can just fly their way through 3 years. So, just read them and read them for isolation again. And simple. And they don't even have a clue of the speeches and the good meaning of these things. No one said that. But they do, the problems of the family, we go to a large meeting, the world conventions, put on influence, we put on the good night, they come to Bible Conference Square, and they learn certain of the triad terms they use, you know, from beginning to end, they read, but they're aware that they never pass the war off, and they pass the war off, and they hit the enlightenment house. Light I've spoken about several times is a blinding light. On this side of intellect, light is blind. And the way it teaches them is to teach it about the light. From the light of knowledge, the light of intelligence, the light of intellect, the light of God, the light of the way, the light of this. The light blinds. Darkness don't blind. All three nations blindfolded. And I mentioned just yesterday, and while they're blindfolded, he went through in their room in the Lord. Someone remove that blindfold, and physical mind starts to work. Even the tongues. The mind starts to speed up, starts to wait. What's going on? What's going to happen? What's coming up next? What's going on? You get it. That's not as much. You get this point. You understand? Why the table broke? Why my leg? One cast made this. Why this? Why that? Well, that's when they divine. Once they remove the blindfold, then they're blind. And give them the light of Freemason. And start giving them the principles of Freemason. And start giving them the tools of Freemason. And you put the Bible on them. And you turn down the earth. And you open the Bible. And get it encompassed in the spirit. And you look down and say, these are the things they touch. And you look down. And watch out. You can with the surrounding emotions. And go into a room with three big cuts. You have the person look down, at some time he looks down, looking away from the three families that represent the three sons, they know right there that he is blind with another life. And that life is accomplished in spirit. How do we fill this fire with God's hand? And we shape him from a God into a real man. You understand? So, in our world, all the symbolism is one of tools that we use or appear towards being able to see God and avoid the being of the Lord. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
for a boundless humanness. And a boundless humanness for God to see that there must be eternity in that eternity, or that darkness is transformed into light by the mind and heart and human patterns to make them see the cycle of being the sun, send on beings, moving, feeding solar systems. There was an intelligence involved there. But that intelligence was in darkness, and the results were the light. So the world of darkness was intelligent, because he didn't know darkness that well. And then he said, there, in the beginning, God gave everything that well. The darkness was on the face of the deep, and the spirit of God moved on the surface of the waters, God said. And the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the spirit of God moved upon the surface of the river, the spirit of God was moving in and then he said that they did. And that's when he started to change the action of consideration. One letter. God created and then had to stop to see whether it could be good. He looked and said, and he saw that it could be good. So when things got into light, it was not necessarily mean that they were good. But God gave these lights and then said, saw that the light that he gave them. So the light was not necessarily good. That's why in this time it had little and man. And law represented the light, and man represented the light. And therefore that light is not necessarily good. It was always about material in the tendency of how one uses it. You can strike a match to light a candle to die, but you can strike a match to burn one more house to kill. And it is temperament in life. There is no temperament in darkness when there is no intent. Because in darkness, your only care is tripping over something you don't know is there. So if you hold spirit and you hold your peace in darkness, divine in your house, there is nothing. There is doubt. You know, because the mind will reach a point. When you start to save yourself, there is more to know. There is more to know. And that truth, the core of the divine will come forward if you use a fix. And there is more to know. And that is not out of reach. It's out of trust. I can't have secrets on these people until I know that they've been protected for thousands of years. They love me faith. What? Yes. And so, I will burn you up. you talk that unto me from Christianity and Islam. If you're not obedient to me, on judgment day, I will judge you and I will burn you up. So the principle of modesty to preach is fear of being burned up, being consumed by fire. Meanwhile, I teach you, dwell in the light, fear in the darkness of ignorance, dwell in the light, and then tell them, get the river. That river wants to burn you up. If you don't do everything the way I say, be aware of the flame of the river light. And it's the sun and the environment that ages and kills you. So you're already in that path if you are a physical being. If you are a spiritual being, then you spend a short time that you walk under the sun's rays to raise yourself spiritually past the care of a physical body. And you care for yourself. It will sustain you if you stop patronizing it and flattering it and gorging it and stopping it and painting it and all the different things you do to it, where it becomes incapable of performing for itself, you may your own body. If that was your body is just a vehicle to carry the spirit to you through this earthly journey. And you're going to be raising yourself in degrees spiritually, so that by the time you take the dollar of fresh oil, you get the rest of the faculties just blend back into the rays. You see what I'm saying? So it's not best to speak in dark or light or light or dark. Because when you go into that state, past sleep paralysis, it is the great that will sleep, you don't see anything. And everything is going to attack you because you allow it and you believe it can. Yes.
Does lucid dreaming or waking sleep have to do with a certain state of consciousness? Tell me again. Does lucid dreaming or waking sleep have to do with a certain state of consciousness?
Yeah, it has to do more so with the vibration of the body. The body is vibrating in a certain pace. That's why when people say, when I'm getting ready to go into a transcendental state, I'm going to drop my body down to alpha wave. Now, why do we go to the first letter of the Greek alphabet, which would be Aleve or other or A? Since why would we say, so where is man vibrating? Well, man is vibrating on eight, vibrating at an octave above. And you have to make that journey down to outer wave where his body therefore is tuned with the oil. You follow that? Now, in between those, anybody with the octopus, this tone, right? In that, let's say, progression of sound going around, there are other beings who are able to vibrate in out. And those beings that within the dreams, that while you're dreaming, you start dropping down. If you're listening to a cat, when a cat is speaking out of birds, you ever heard a cat, you ever heard of a cat before? And a cat purrs in the sleep, and a certain purr sound, that's where we're dropping down. Human beings usually drop no farther than out of 8 to 4, so they stay in what's called sleep paralysis. They're in a paralyzed state, and oftentimes, they can wake up at that point before their body has addressed the one star to turn back up and wake up. They'll wake up, and their body will still be asleep. And their eyes will open, and they will be paralyzed. They'll return to sleep paralysis. And in that state, the body will pass. And it goes to the brain and shoots directly to the hippocampus area of the brain and starts to find solutions to things on this side and that side at the same time. And thus hallucination begins. People start to hallucinate, they start to have visions of things. Things that they create or have experienced. And so man is a creator, a thus a designer. So he can design monsters to terrorize them, or angels to die, and we can fly as high as we want, and swim as long as deep as we want, in that world, at the fourth level, coming down from the AI. You follow that? So it does definitely have to do with the mental state, which has to do with the vibrating level of the human being. Moving at the earth and traveling that object back and forth at random. And that's what Aaron wants to teach people. Our man starts with the 8, drops to 7, and 6, and 5, the same level. At any given time, you can go into the output as they go. Your heart starts to slow up. You breathe that less, and then you start to make that transit state. If you go all the way down from one, with me, then you can get a new boost. Just like when you're extremely tired, you go from staying up for 2 days, you find that the 48th hour, you get to the 20th and the 24th hour, you get a boost, and you get this, what they call a second breath. Because I want to be working on eating. Now, you're no longer working on breath. That extra boost you get from the skinny tired and grinding on the surface of the gut. Oh, you can save the way you drive around your mouth. That's good and great. When you learn to take these giant things back into yourself, it's all going to be different. When you get down from block, you learn to vibrate there, then it's easy for me to take everything into the future world. Because on the other side of this block, I am in existence.
Responsibility with your body and your soul and your spirit, those being faithful. Chasing around, got me up in a cartoon.
scared of people with a lantern and no head model, and these things stayed within inside you in your essence. You follow that? And it's dormant, waiting to come out. And you can just combine them the way you take this to take this is and put little pieces together. You can put little pieces of memories of fear and traumatize yourself. So you just can't go jumping back there. That's what happens when any school join meditation group, and they're on a very high spiritual level because their mother and father genetically were high. And they get there, and they get possessed. Or they go to a Pentecostal church, and they get possessed. They go to a Yoruba group, and they get possessed. Or to a Santeria, and they get possessed at a Shambo meeting for spiritual Shambo baptism, spiritual baptism in the house. They get possessed the first day. Other people sit there and say, why is that bothering me? I'm not getting the Holy Ghost. I'm not falling in love. How come I'm not? You understand? Those people were able to make that leap because somewhere within their fourth generation on both sides, which is eight again, four in the mother and four in the father, somewhere in that period, coming over this way, somebody was very spiritual, or someone dove into Shango, or someone dove into Yoruba, or someone dove into Ubu, or Burden. Someone dealt with some of these things in your family. And they have opened the porthole in your genes for anybody whose soul to step in. They haunt you, they torment you, and you learn psychic self-defense. And how to go back down that channel for that semi-vortex and patch that hole up, you know. So it's something that has to cause you to gravity. So while you're learning to open this channel, you also learn the psychic self-defense. So you become a spiritual warrior when you get back there. But then beings who will have to fight off this in your mind. And that's why I gave the last book, tell people when they're in a sweat lodge, and they're going through these things, smoking a coyote, they take on the journeys, and every journey they come up against demons and monsters. They'll tell them, chief or Mako will tell them this is the demon that's inside you. These are illusions. You've got to defeat them. When you're standing there, you see a mountain lion. First on a mountain, getting ready to leap on you. And you've got to remember that you are taught by your Mako or your shaman. Remember that this is an illusion that God created. And that and the cooperation as your fear increases. And once you overcome that, then that mountain lion disappears. And then you start a little further down, and you come across a tremendous rattlesnake. And you're calling by this rattlesnake. Because you have seen movies in your lifetime where people were caught and trapped by rattlesnakes, and you say, what would I do? And the moment you add the idea, you brand it in your subconscious mind as being a part of your life. What would I do if Godzilla came over the mountain? If now it's still Godzilla in your mind forever, what would I do if Dracula had me cornered? What would I do if the Wolfman was chasing me through the woods? And that's why they make these kind of movies. But they know as God that you're constantly taking that unshaped astral and bring it into a shaped astral, bring it up all of the strong heap of mud and God can cut the bricks to build this strong character. And in that they must imprint or they must implant all of these kind of thoughts that deviate to take you off the path. You work with us for power, you work with us for lust, you work with us for greed, they implant all things in us that interfere with that direct path. You know what I'm saying? So you have to take that journey back, step by step. But you also put on that, Bible would say, you put on the armor of God. You see, because you're going to fight the dragons. You become a dragon slayer. But you are the architect. You are the fashioner and the shaper and the former of the dragons. And only you can overcome the dragon when you give back the world of illusions. It's a balance. So you can definitely do it. Yes, anyone?
Well, my question was, when you refer to stepping back from the physical and looking at the body and what's happening in different places, Should we step back as far as to look at ourselves from above and see our physical body? So she looked at it from inside out, like look at the body as far as the physical movement, the mind book, these desires are not me. And the other thing that you said, as far as we step back as far as look at ourselves from above and try to control our body like a play master, or just let it happen.
No, you have to take control of it. The shaming is written in a book. So I can introduce some thought. Shame from the book will not make it happen. It's just when I say something like, this is what you must do, this is written so that you can get an idea of what you must do. You can't be there and be there as a means for which to accomplish it. You know what I'm saying? You then have to learn for finding yourself, for turning yourself inside out, for making that inner journey. And believe you need, for lack of a better word, you're not that far away spiritually from what you want. Otherwise, you would not be led to this position in the better. You wouldn't be sitting here right now aspiring to find out that people out there that are roaming endlessly in a Las Vegas mind. They're nowhere near where your time is up. So some part of your being, be it family or whatever, is leading you towards this time for a reason. Don't try to solve it all one time. This is the first time that I'm even talking to people about it one-on-one. Most of the time, I'm preaching fire and brimstone about the coming calamities of the world, and I didn't put time aside from the spiritual people that I was really trying to reap the harvest of the physical people to get them ready. To find so many of them are wasted. They're so caught up in their world, wasting time. It's time to focus on you. That told me, that said something, that said, spiritual sons and daughters are gathering. The physical people who gather every Saturday night. But if you can gather here on Saturday night and be that spiritual person, you gather here only on Saturday night but have no concern about the spirit, you get it? You know what I'm saying? This is just the first time. There's going to be more things happening. More was supposed to happen today with your environment. Maps are supposed to be set out on the grass in circles of nine. You're supposed to have a certain chance that you're going to learn the 10. Start getting your body ready for that transition. But nature says it's not ready yet. And we're talking about the truth of certain. And we have to wait until it rains. You can't put the mask down every 6 minutes. Or we can sit and we can talk and prepare ourselves. There's a journey more than just a little bit to be in the back. It's about being ready. Alright? How many people get fast? That's good enough. You're starting this thing. That's what I would say up there.
This by myself, Bob Carson, is about myself. I put myself in the home. And ever since then, I've been looking for a master. I thought I was destroyed probably. I used to be in the watching body things that would be like Charlotte Monk and things that were able to do. So that was a spot.
Don't say it, because I studied martial arts for years too. And you'll never see that in the top of the trees in 30 feet tall. And you'll see them in Bruce Lee movies. And when I went over there to study, I want to see them do the things that I saw, catch the bullet in your hands and all that kind of stuff. I was told, that's not real, that's a movie. After I paid for the fight over there.
And so, the thing is, I said, well, wow, why is it that all the people around me don't really seem to know anything? So, from that point on, I started on a journey of searching for that. And I'm spiritual, right? Because you are going to ask me. Because it's going to be back there, it's going to die, and so, boom, I gave the night came.
I stumbled on to this way looking, I rolled up in it, but I had to find some video, and I said to the first person I come to, I would go to them and ask them, and bring them on, that's when you make a and I still want to watch them. And I said, well, where you guys think so? He told me, he said, and I said, well, fine, how do I get from the and I went there. And the
most people do. And most people get so deeply sidetracked by so
of the adversity is kind of times and excitement about football. You know, basketball, so we get sidetracked by chasing girls in the schoolyard until we knew, you know, to support the part of our life. We just bring back to the soul, we just started basically that from 1 to 13 with masters. And then at 13, we declared a man. And then from 13, by the time they got to 19, they were married and had a family. If all that goes with that, it's all that spirit inside you and your chromosome, these things that happened in your past are still in your present. You're living in a circle of time. Time is not moving forward, and that was your part of it. It's expanding in out and passing you like waves going back and forth. You sound like this is what time is. So you have time to force the man in the bitch to recycle himself and fail to do themselves. The problem the race keeps on forcing. And you see it on sound waves, that it happens, bounce and they come back off themselves. Well, the human body is vibrating on sound. So when you listen to the act just like all our thought patterns are sound, they're light. In order for them to become emotion, that energy emotion, they work that way. You see? So we don't feel like you're a stranger. The strange part is over because you was on your way to find a spiritual master. And it took you down many schools of thought, all of which are beneficial to you. As long as you obtain Watkins and Mars Cross, it's still beneficial to you if for no other reason you don't to take care of your body. We learn how to exercise and train and discipline the body, which will help you discipline the mind. You know what I'm saying? But those are just leaping thoughts. You know, those cycles. They are, you're still too much in yourself. Everybody is seeking a spiritual master. And sometimes they don't stay with this spiritual master, not strong enough. You know what I'm saying? When they find the master's not saying what they want, like I said before, when Moshe or Moses said to Melchizedek, what happened? He told him, you're not really ready for me. Because you're looking at me, you think you know what you see. But how many times I tell you, seeing is, and hearing and reading is, and believing. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said, and I went to see them in the shower, and I said, well, what's your son told me? But that was only within me to see it, and because we saw on the telephone, we really believed it was meant to be jump up, and I believed it up there, put that there, and put that down, you know. We really believed it was those kids, didn't we? And he could take, you know, skill, bring them with their hands. You take into consideration the skin and bone and tissue and what they compose of, you know, they got their mind on that. You teach them to keep your mind on the other side of that quick. Just that big room the right way. And you can run the thing with the thing all you can with this bone, your crystal, and all this, and say, I can put you on the big thing. I put you on the exercise and the class and all that. I put you with the big up down the punch brand and you look at.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الواري الكريم وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reform, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Radio.